my own. Can anybody besides me hear me? I want you to know it's indeed an honor for me to be here with y'all this morning. I've always enjoyed coming here. I don't know how many years I've been coming here, maybe 10, maybe 12, I don't know. I enjoy each time I come, and I thank you. I also am very thankful for the partnership that we have with Kennedy and how uplifting he is to me, and how at one of my lowest spiritual times of my life, you guys reached out. And I've never and never will forget that. I'm in the last 9 months of my 42-year banking career. I've told them I'm hanging it up next summer, but I'm still having to do training. And so each year we have about 15 computer modules of training that we have to do. And so I got an email from my boss saying, you know, you've got like 4 weeks to do those 15. I hadn't started them yet. And so I have been working on doing that training. There was one, it's a class on what's called UDAP, U-D-A-A-P, Unfair, Deceptive, and Abusive Acts and Practices. It's about financial institutions and businesses have to be fair to the consumers. They can't be deceptive. They can't be abusive. I'm sitting here in my later years, and I'm thinking, I wonder who wrote this law? Yeah, it was politicians. And here we are going through the stuff we're going through the last few weeks on television, and I'm like, why doesn't someone require them to do political advertisement and they have to be fair and not deceptive and truthful and not abusive? This year, I am so glad midterms are over. I don't care who you voted for. Here's who I prayed for. God. God, you win. That's all I care about. It got personal for us this year. Some of you may realize that, or may be on Facebook with me and know that my daughter, 18 months ago, decided to run for county judge. And she started off real good and said, you know, Dad, I'm not going to take money from any of these weird groups. And, you know, and she didn't. She took money from her dad and her father-in-law and the first primary was in March, and she had worked with the guy who actually won congressman last week on defeating a mesquite land grab where they were trying to take over land in Forney and Crandall, and she, being an attorney, got it all tied up in court until the deadline passed and mesquite didn't get to take over that property. And so she runs for election in March, and after the vote count came out, she lost by one vote. I'm not over. I'm not through. There were 11,000 votes, and she lost by one vote. So I'm an analytical guy. You know, I work at the bank, and I see things other people don't see, and she does too. And we noticed that she won election day voting. She won early voting. But she did not win absentee ballot voting. He won by a whole huge margins, 500 or 600 votes. So a friend of hers who went to Abilene Christian at a different time when Tracy went, called her and said, I've got a group that'll help investigate this and see. And so they found a number of people who didn't realize they had voted, because they didn't, but their name, their ballot had voted. There were a couple of dead people who voted. There were a number of people who voted that don't exist. And that's a problem in our country today, is the absentee ballot voting. There's a lot of fraud in there. She filed a suit. Judge called for a new trial. They both got about 5,000 votes in March. They had a trial. Judge called for a new election. Had a new election in July. She won by 400 votes. Last week, she got 26,000 votes because she was running unopposed. She takes office in January. She is the first person in Texas history, well, 75, 80 years of Texas history, who's ever filed a complaint in an election and won the second election. So it's been very personal for us this year because it's been very expensive. Yes. Anyway, I saw a lot of abuse, deception, and unfair stuff that just kind of nearly wore us all out. So what do I want to talk about today? I want to talk about conflict. Conflict's kind of fresh on my mind after these last, 10 to 12 months. And so I want to talk about that. And if you have your Bibles, Luke 13 is where I'm going to be. And I'm going to look at Jesus making some mistakes that weren't mistakes, but he was called out on it, and he defends himself. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. Jesus heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. So I have a friend named Rusty. Rusty had paid off his house, and he'd made a lot of money. He'd been part owner in a service station. They made a bunch of money. And he pretty much had his retirement set. But Rusty liked to gamble. And Rusty, in about 4 years, totally gambled everything away, including his house. Not only that, stole money from his grandmother, got a check on her account. And people tried to talk to him and say, what's wrong here? Can't you see that this is a problem?" And yeah, he saw it as a problem, but he couldn't do anything about it. When I became an elder, I learned about family who had trouble because he was hooked on crack cocaine. He had a $10,000 a month habit. And I'm like, "Do you see what kind of problem this is causing you?" And he said, "Yeah, but I can't stop it." Had a police officer, brought his wife to me. And he said, "Would you talk to her? She's crying. She's got a problem and she can't talk to me about it. But I need someone to listen to her and help her get through this." He brought her in, gun on his hip, went out to the car, and I said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "My boyfriend broke up with me." "Your husband just brought you in here, and you're crying because your boyfriend just broke up with you?" "Yes." "What in the world's wrong with you? I mean, don't you know that if you're married, have a husband and children, you're not supposed to have a boyfriend? I mean, is that hard to figure out?" "Yeah, but I can't give it up." This lesson, this confrontation with Jesus, the synagogue leader says, "Don't heal on the Sabbath. We're upset with you about healing on the Sabbath." The headlines in the scripture says, "Jesus heals on the Sabbath." When you have cancer, you need medicine. When you have pneumonia, you need medicine. Any other kind of disease, you need medicine. You need medication. You need to go to the doctor. Prayer always helps. And you know, we're real good at praying. Anytime any of us are sick or suffering from any kind of physical infirmity, we're pretty good about asking for God's help. But if you're totally addicted to sin, what can a doctor do for you? I guess he can give you sleeping pills and, you know. See, I don't believe, and I see things in a different way sometimes, but I don't see healing going on here with this woman. Okay, she's all bent over, and she can't straighten up. But Jesus says it was caused by a demon. For 18 years, she's had this problem because of an evil spirit. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know how evil spirits work during the time of Jesus, because he could cast them out. And that's what he actually does here. He says to her, "You're healed?" Mm-mm. He says to her, "You are set free." Now, I'm going to tell you, I think there's a difference between being set free from evil than healing of a disease. To be enslaved by sin, that's destruction. Where else does sin take us? We can't live and have eternal life if our sin becomes our new God. So when Jesus says, "I set you free," it's not about healing. It's about whatever evil was in her life. He set her free from it. Now, I've shared this with you before probably, because I've shared it with about 10 other classes I've taught. I smoked when I was in high school, well, right out of high school, in college. And after 7 years, my wife would cough her head off. I'd have to go outside to smoke. I decided I wanted to quit. Well, you know, there's patches and there's all sorts of stuff. But I decided I was going to let Jesus set me free. Those are hard words when you're addicted to something, you know. And so I said, okay, every single time I have this great urge to smoke, I'm going to open up my Bible, and wherever it lands, I'm just going to read until the urge passes. Carried it to work with me, had it with me at work. After 2 weeks, I would get these questions. I can't find my Bible. You know? And after 6 months, the smell of cigarette smoke, I became a radical. Hold it. You're smoking? Get out of my office. You know? My closet didn't smell like cigarette smoke anymore. I began to change. To me, that's what setting me free was about. There are sins in our life that we need help from. Now, I know, here's what society says. You have a sex addiction, you need to go to rehab. You have a drug addiction, you need to go to rehab. Well, maybe those things work, and I'm not saying they don't work. I'm just saying you need to go to Jesus. That's the only place you're going to get set free. Now, I believe in doctors, and I believe in rehab, but I believe the real power to change is from Jesus, and that's different. So what they're all upset with Jesus about here is about healing on the Sabbath. And he calls them all a bunch of hypocrites. See, Jesus doesn't sit back and take it. You know, when they criticize him, he lets them know what he thinks. And so he argues with them. You know, if you got a donkey or a cow, that needs water. You're going to take him out on the Sabbath. But yet this woman who has been bound by Satan for 18 years, you got a problem with me taking care of her on the Sabbath. Well, that tells you something about the Jewish leaders. They thought more of animals than they did of people. You know, we're there. Our society is there now. Our society, I love animals. I don't want to see animals mistreated. But I got to tell you, our society thinks more of animals now than they do of people. We're just like the hypocrites. Our culture is just like the hypocrites of the Jewish leaders. We need to be set free from that. And the only way to set free anything is with Jesus. Our country needs Jesus. Our country needs Jesus more than it needs people involved in political process. This land needs healing, but it needs to be set free from sin. See, here's the interesting thing I find. Sin takes over. You actually become a slave to sin, Paul says. Well, in our culture, people, we don't want laws. We don't want anybody telling us what we can or can't do. We want freedom so that we can be enslaved to our sins. And it's like, man, Satan's really got control of the world in which we live in. See, we know who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit tells us who Jesus is. We have been set free. Yes, we still dabble in sin every now and then, but we have the strength of Jesus Christ to break away. This world needs Jesus, and the only way they're going to get it is through the Holy Spirit working through us. That's the only hope for our fellow man. Well, I learned a lot from those scriptures, but I like the way Jesus responded to them. He didn't take criticism without responding. He dealt with the accusation. So I want to look at another conflict. I want to look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning verse 22. Then Jesus came. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. The works that we do in the name of God testify who we are." We can't go tell people, "You need to find Jesus. I found Jesus. You need to find Jesus." Where is the proof that you found Jesus? Can anyone see you? Can anyone see Jesus living in you? That's what he's saying. "Look at my works and you'll see they come from God." And he says that. "The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Now, let me tell you what he says about the sheep. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." If we are followers of Jesus, there are going to be works. Works don't get us to heaven. Okay? If we are followers of Jesus, there will be works. That's the proof. And that's what Jesus is saying about him. "I am equal to God. See my works?" That's how you tell. The works he was doing, no one else could do. The works we can do, no one else will do. I love this My sheep listen to my voice. Think about that. Jesus, how do you talk to me? I don't know. I don't exactly know how Jesus talks to us, but I know something appears in my mind, some thought. This let me tell you something. This whole thought about set free, I had been reading these chapters for a couple of weeks. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm praying, okay, God, what am I supposed to get out of this that you want me to share with anybody else? Middle of Highway 80, and the word comes back. He didn't heal. What? Where'd that come from? Just in my mind, he didn't heal. He set her free. Okay, so I'm supposed to figure something out here. I'm just telling you, somehow we hear his voice. And that's what he says here. My sheep know me, and they hear my voice. If you're not hearing something from Jesus, you may be closed off. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that either. You may have closed off, but that doesn't mean he's not speaking to you. I give them eternal life. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. You cannot take it. You cannot be. You get it from Jesus. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. If we have eternal life, we will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. No one can snatch you out of Jesus' hand. And he says no one can snatch you out of God's hand. You can walk away, though. You can walk away. Your sin can become your God and you follow it. But no one else can snatch you from Jesus. No one can snatch you from God. They are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered, it's not written in your law. I have said you are gods. If you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But I do them even though you do not believe me. Believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. It's hard to be a Christian. If you fear the world, if you want to be accepted by the world, it's hard to be a Christian. We live in this land where it's easy for Christians to be attacked, to be accused of everything. But it's not hard being a sheep if you don't worry about how the world feels about you. I don't know why Jesus didn't make it much easier for us, you know? But I do know, one of my favorite TV shows is Survivor. It usually start off with 20 people, and they're really good friends the first hour. And then they turn on each other, and they begin to swipe at each other. And they form bands, but the way it works is all but one is going, leave. They're going to get voted off. And this is a kind of a microcosm of the world, okay? You know? Only one person's going to win $1 million. But they're going to suffer a lot. And they're going to have to probably be a little bit deceitful. I've heard some of them say, I was truthful in everything I did. Well, that's a lie right there, you know? And in this world, that's the way people are. It's not going to be easy. But what we have from Jesus, eternal life. I wish I could tell you exactly what eternal life is. Scripture says, what we shall become has never been seen. Angels have been seen. We're not going to become angels. We're going to be above the angels. So in John, Jesus, God revealed to John what heaven was going to be like. And it's streets of gold and a gate made out of pearls and all of this beautiful stones that the temple, that the new city of Jerusalem is built upon. And that would really be special and be really nice if we were going to be human. But we're not going to be human. We're going to have a body, but it's not going to look like this. It's going to be a spiritual body. Spiritual. Somehow we have to move from the physical to the spiritual. The only way you can do it is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can guide us through moving from the physical to the spiritual. But following Jesus is about spiritual things. We pray. We pray about all of our, like I said, our infirmities. I have a Bible class that meets every Sunday morning. And we have prayer requests, just like y'all do. And most of the prayer requests are for so-and-so's sick, so-and-so's traveling, so, you know, just physical stuff. And I said, what if we really prayed what was on your heart? And they said, what do you mean? What about all of you who've talked to me about a child that has fallen away from God? Not the church. God. Does that bother you? Yeah. Does that bother you less or more than whether or not they're ill? Bothers me a lot more. Why don't we pray about that? Why don't we pray about the spiritual things that really concern us in our hearts? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. We have to move on from being physical to being spiritual. That's what this world doesn't understand and can't understand it without the Holy Spirit working through us to help them. We have to move to understanding the spiritual life that we have access to. If we understood that, we would finally understand just how powerful our prayers can really be. I love to think of in terms of our prayers being like the force. You know? But it's still physical. And they are as powerful or more powerful than the physical force in Star Wars imagery. But it's all about spiritual. Things we don't actually see, but actually believe. I got to tell you, this lady in Luke, she's been bound by a demon for 18 years. There was something evil in her life. Something evil that held her, controlled her, and wouldn't let her go. And Jesus set her free. And then in John, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I have this feeling when he said, woman, I set you free, that voice never left her until she died. Doesn't say that. I'm just speculating. But there are voices that you've heard in your life that if you heard them again, you would recognize them. I believe she recognized them. I believe she became one of his sheep. once you are touched by the spiritual Jesus, how can you ever be the same? How can you ever be the same? You can reject him. But like Peter said, where else are we going to go, Jesus? You're the one who has the key to eternal life. Nobody else has that key. My time is up. I think that one of my missions in the last half of my life, that would mean I'd have to live another 64 years. Let's say the last 20% of my life is about me sharing. 4 years ago, I taught a lesson. I taught a class, a series on the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same. There was no miraculous things going on. I'm not, it is just open my eyes, open my ears, let me see, let me hear what you want me to see, God, and believe in your power. The rest of my life will be sharing. We've got to move towards being spiritual, and the only way we get there is through the Holy Spirit. I hope that you have been set free from all the sins of your life. But I want you to know, if you haven't, all you got to do is ask Jesus to set you free. And listen to him, because he does talk to you. And he says he does. If any of you have a concern, if any of you need to be prayed over, if any of you have any need that the elders here can help you with, this would be a good time to share as we stand and as we sing.